Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Hello friends, thank you for joining us today. We have a blessing for you today. A good fellow elder and brother, Rex Verone, is with us today to share with you on receiving the Holy Spirit. And Rex is the pastor of our prison ministry. And he has a real gift to get across to people the blessing of the Holy Spirit and to get them filled with the Holy Spirit. And his book is coming out soon. It's called The Holy Spirit, With Us and In Us. And I know that you'll enjoy it, and I believe you'll enjoy Rex today, too. God bless you.
Well, when we left off, we were talking about the Holy Spirit coming in the upper room and the evidence of them praying in tongues and going down to the street and the act, the moving of the Holy Ghost, doing gifts and the operation of the gifts, but also the operation of the gift, the Holy Ghost Himself. And we were at Simon the Magician, and in Acts 8, verses 18 and 19, now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. There's obviously something going on that Simon saw that he wanted. And he was going to give them money for it, so evidently he was wealthy. And from reading beginnings of this chapter, we know that Simon was born again, so he met the criteria. We also know that he was baptized in water. Whether they spoke, you know, the evidence of speaking in tongues is not mentioned here, but it's obviously pretty much inferred that Simon saw and heard something that he wanted. Something took place. And he says, I want this, that whomever I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about Paul's experience. Paul was on a mission in his life because he was a Pharisee. He was taught by Gamaliel, and he knew the Scriptures. He knew the Old Testament. And I believe it's not only because he was chosen, but because of his heart. And because of what he knew, the revelations that he got was explaining everything that he'd read about. And that's why I think it was tougher for Peter and them to understand, because Peter says, you know, Paul utters things that are very hard to understand. You know, he's saying stuff that's blowing our minds, so just don't worry about it, you know, just he's okay. And so, but Paul was on a mission to destroy the children. He'd gotten papers from the high priest to go and do this, to destroy these people, these Jewish people that were turning to Christ, to get rid of them. Obviously, Stephen being one of them. You read in Acts where Stephen was stoned. Paul held a close while they stoned him. In Acts 9, verses 15 through 18, it says, But the Lord said to him, talking to Ananias now, Go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine. Now, Ananias knew it before Paul knew it. Operations, okay? To hear, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, if he'd have told us that when we got born again, we would be running, I think. He'd say, no, I'm not in the suffering business. So, you know, I'll take the born again part, but the paying the price part, I'm not interested in. But when you love God so much, you're willing, if you love your family, you love your wives, or you love your husbands, or you love your children, you will do what it takes. That's how we love God. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. You tell me, I'll do it. You have to make up your mind. It doesn't make any difference if none of your friends do it. He's talking to you. Ananias didn't want to go do this. I wouldn't want to go do it. If I'd have been seeing him kill people and stone them and strip them and other, you know, and just do what they were doing, you wouldn't want to go talk to him. You're going to do it for my namesake. Verse 17, so Ananias departed and entered the house. And after laying his hands on him, now you have to go back and understand, Paul had his salvation experience when he got knocked off the horse. Because he said, who are you? Who are you, Lord? That's a revelation. He says, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. And after laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus. God is so good. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight. What's the next thing? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul saved on the road to Damascus, sitting in this guy's house blind, can't see. I think that was both physical and spiritual. He was blinded by what he had been taught, and he couldn't see what Jesus had come to do. And the scales fell off his eyes, not only in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, because he gets on fire and goes away for 14 years. Okay? And learns as much about Jesus as the disciples did, or the apostles did. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. So several things happen right here that are extremely important in a believer's life. If you get saved, I really believe if a person gets saved, and they love the Lord, he will lead them to get baptized. I'm not teaching on baptism or whether the importance of it or anything. You just see a sequence here. You see it in the book of Acts. Salvation, Holy Ghost, baptism, salvation, baptism, Holy Ghost, and you'll see it. Now let's look at Cornelius' experience when Peter goes to talk to him. And I said earlier when we started the class, or we started this session, those that hunger and thirst shall be filled. That's in Matthew 5 and 6. And Peter begins to explain, because they brought him to the carpet. They said, hey, wait a minute, what happened? And Peter begins to explain to them the Holy Ghost fell on them. That's Acts 10:44. But in Acts 10:45 and 48, he says, all the circumcision believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift, circle it in your Bible, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Period. The gift of the Holy Ghost. There's another incident. Peter said it. In the beginning of Acts, in 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's saying it again. Peter hasn't changed one iota. He's saying it again. For the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and exalting God. That's evidence. And he ties it to his experience in the upper room. They got the same thing we got, just like we got it. And you don't see Peter talking to somebody, trying to explain whether they can speak in their prayer language or they can't, or whether they can speak in tongues or not. There's no teaching about it. That's coming with Paul, because the church is fixing to grow. Then Peter answered to them, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received, mark it in your Bible, receive the Holy Ghost just as we did. Can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay there and teach. I mean, yeah, amen. You know, y'all are here and you're listening because God's doing something. He's touching. And you want to tune in and you want to be here. Because you're getting truth. Manna, lest you eat the flesh and drink the blood, you have no life. You have to go where that's happening. Wherever that is. Amen? Acts 11:16. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if God give them the same gift, circle that in your Bible, as he gave to us also after believing, notice, after believing, not before, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in the way of God? Makes sense to me. You know? If God wants to do something, you better let him do it. Now the Ephesians experience. This is Acts 19. It happened now while Apollos was at Corinth. Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Disciples. I'm going to let you study the word out, but disciples, it's a critical thing. They're people, they're believers. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? Now, that's a question that we ask all the time. You know, you born again? Yeah. You received the Holy Ghost? Oh, yeah, brother, I got the Holy Ghost when I got saved. And you start asking for evidence, it's, oh, no, not everybody gets that. That's a gift. It's not true. You're finding out tonight that's not true. That's not true. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Ghost. That was my case. I never heard of it. And he said, into what were you baptized? Into what? Into what? Back then when you got baptized in something, that means you were a follower. You paid the price. Whatever it was, you did it. And they said, John. And Paul said, yes, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, upon them, the Holy Spirit came to them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. One is an evidence, the other one's a gift. Notice, Paul doesn't correct them. You have to pay attention when you read something, because Paul doesn't correct any praying in tongues until the Corinthian church. Neither did any of the other apostles. Neither did Peter, neither did James, neither did John. They did not correct anyone. They left them alone. Because it was an experience they had. If you have an experience, you know, if you have an experience with the Lord, I'm saying, hey, you know, who am I? I'm not, right? Especially if I had one just like you. Amen? So, let's talk about Corinthians. Let's talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is not an exhaustive study on all the gifts either and how they operate. This is mainly about the gift, the Holy Ghost, the gifts, those are resonant with Him, how you receive. Obviously, you receive by faith. Also, I had to ask. Those people at Cornelius, they didn't ask. He just fell on them. I was in a Bible class, teaching a Bible class in Lafayette to people. And all of these people knew me before I got born again, went to high school with me. And most of them, when I got invited to go teach, most of them came to see because they didn't believe I'd ever say anything about the Bible. Okay? They said, no, that can't be. But when they came and I began to teach them and the very basics and bringing them up, one, and the classes grew longer and longer and longer. When you love God, there's no time. And so began to love on the Lord and began to teach, and classes went from 1 hour to two and three and going to four. And my wife was saying, you know, you need to kind of like get home sometime, you know. And so I made a promise on this particular night. I said, okay, I promise I'll. She had some things for me to do, and I said, I promise I'll be home. I'll do that. No problem. Promise, baby, I'm going to be there. Okay. But God sets up things in your life. And it's not that I lied to her. My heart was, yeah, I'm going to be home. But I began to teach on water baptism. They had gotten saved. And I just teaching on baptism. You ought to do it. And so this Dr. Lynn Arch, who was a very close friend of mine, he got saved in that class. And he was one of the ones, he's a psychologist, so he really came to check me out more so than all the rest of them. And he says, I want, who can do this? We taught about 2 hours, and I said, class is over. I gotta go, I got obligations, it's over with. And he said, wait a minute, who can do this baptism business? And I said, anybody, any believer. And he said, well, let's do it right now. Like these people, I said, like people in a bottle. I said, no, I've made a promise, I gotta go home. No. There's a swimming pool out here, and this was in the winter. A lot of things happened to me in the winter. It was in the winter, and the pool was heated. Okay, I didn't know that. And my first excuse was, it's cold outside, guys. And there was about 20 people in the class, and men and women. And I said, no, I'm not prepared for this. I need to go home. You don't understand. I'm going to get in trouble. No. I'm hearing I got to do this right now. And so I finally gave in. I said, okay, fine. So the women weren't taking part in that. So the women went into another room, and I said, let's go. And so we're walking out, and we're all undressing down to our underwear and our shirts and go into the pool and walk into the water. And I said, I need to hear you confess to me. Now, most of these had already done that, because they got on their face and were crying when they gave their life to Jesus, so it's pretty easy to see that. But I said, I need to hear that you, I want to tell me, is Jesus your Lord? Is he your master? Talk to me. And so each one, that seven people followed me into the water. I took them, each one, and I baptized them. And when I turned them loose, underwater, turned them loose, and when they came up, all seven, one at a time, speaking in tongues. I had never taught on it. I had never mentioned it, nor had they heard me speak about it. Just like the book of Acts. God sovereignly did that because he looked down in their heart. Not only did he do that, one guy, it embarrassed him, and he put his hand over his mouth. And when he put his hand over his mouth, obviously, he would stop, because he'd hold his mouth shut, okay? And when he took his hands off, he's speaking again, okay? Another one, he said, I have such a cramping in my stomach, there's something wrong. And immediately, the Holy Spirit gave me wisdom, what's wrong with him. And I cast demons out of him. And to show you the reality of the Lord, he laid prone, floated on the top of the water, his face in the water. I know for at least 10 minutes. Sovereign God. He didn't drown. He didn't do anything. And when he came up out of the water, he's clean. He's free. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. And he turned his psychology practice into... He uses the Bible now, where he didn't get results with a people for 7, 8, 9 years. Now he gets results in 4 or 5 months, and some even quicker, because God gives him discernment of what's wrong, and he deals with it. Now, you can't do that with everybody, because everybody's got a lawyer, but the ones that allow him to do the things that God shows him get free. It's not asking. Not asking. I prayed for one guy in full gospel that he got filled with the Holy Ghost. He comes back the next, this Bible class, and he comes back in class and he says, my language sounds kind of funny. Can you pray for me so we can change it? I never had that request. And I said, well, why not? So I put my hands on his stomach and prayed for him. He got a whole new language. Okay, we had that conversation earlier today. The 70s and 80s, God was doing a thing. He's doing it now. And it just didn't pop up in the 70s and early 70s. There was a train where you could see God beginning to move. And it's like a river. And if you stepped into the river, you got with it. And that's what's happening now. That same flow, I guess analogy of the river is the best way I know how to call it. The flow of the river. You get in it. Don't stand on the bank. Let it flow up to your neck, you know, like the prophet. He walked in, it was ankles and it was thighs and it was shins and thighs and neck. Get in there. Amen? Now, this is some things that we know. Let's talk about 1 Corinthians. Let's talk about the gifts. Because let's talk about the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, now we've already learned, keep it in your heart and in your mind and in your hearing, that the gift of the Holy Ghost is a gift. In Him are nine gifts. Now, Paul has a church in Corinth that he's going to have to start teaching. He's already teaching them, but he's going to have to straighten them out. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant or unaware. I would venture to say that a large percentage of the Christian body today is ignorant of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are varieties of gifts, and you need to mark them in your Bible, one we talked about. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works things in all persons. So there's three things going on, and you can see that you notice that he's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's one person. And there are varieties of ministries, same Lord. That's Jesus. There are varieties of effects, but the same God. That's the Father. That's all of them. Works all things to all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That means each one of you sitting here, each one listening in that camera or listening wherever you're listening at, you have a gift and God wants you to use it. And it's not, I talk on the phone a lot. It's, I have deposited one of these nine gifts in you or with you that'll operate in you if you will allow God to do it. If you will allow me to do it, it's there. And why does He want you to do it? For the common good. There's somebody here, there's people here that need something from God. Would you agree? Everybody here needs something. I'm sitting here teaching and I need something. I haven't perfected out, you know. I haven't reached it. I still need God to do works in my life. Need Him to change me. I want to be available for Him to change me into something. Change me. Make me different so that He can use me more. So what do we know about 1 Corinthians 12:1? Paul wanted the church to understand the gifts. He also wanted them to know how to use them. He wanted to know where they came from. And he told them that the Holy Ghost gives gifts. He is a gift, but He gives gifts. And the gifts manifest differently in different people. You could have the gift of healing, and it operates this way in you. The gift of healing could operate in me, and it operate differently. But it's still healing. It's still the same thing. But we're different people, so things operate in us differently. But the truth is still there. The operation by the Spirit is still there. Let's look at the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, plural, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another, variation in kinds of tongues, various tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. That's the thing we have to understand. Those gifts operate as the Holy Ghost wills, not that you will. Not that you will. Your prayer language, what you received in the upper room, is something you can pray in your spirit whenever you want, wherever you want, however long you want. it's not the Holy Ghost praying, it's you praying in the Spirit. You are a triune body according to 1 Thessalonians. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Each one has a mind, I think, of its own. The flesh wants to go do something, and the soul wants to do something, and the spirit wants to do something else. And the one you feed the most is that's what you're getting. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We're all here, we're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to work with one another. And again, I gave you the gifts and how they are grouped. The power gifts, the gift of miracles, the gift of healings, the gift of faith. Revelation gifts are the discerning of spirits, the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. The vocal gifts are the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. With him, and I mentioned earlier, with him are nine fruit. I'm not going to discuss the fruit, but we're supposed to manifest the fruit. But the fruit of the, in Galatians 5, 22 and 25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. There are nine of them. You can count them. Nine of them. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So the nine gifts are all of those. If you have a loved one and you believe God for healing and you anoint with all, the Bible says in James, call for the elders of the church, let them anoint with all, pray the prayer of faith. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them and they shall be healed. It says in Mark 15, 16, 17, 18, go out in the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and to him who is baptized shall be saved, to him who is not, that doesn't mean about being baptized in water, to him who is not shall be damned, and these signs are going to follow them that believe. First thing that's going to happen is they're going to cast out devils. The second thing is they're going to speak in a new tongue. The third thing is if they handle any snakes or asp or those kind of things, they won't harm them. They'll drink poison. That's all an evangelistic type thing. I don't mean go sit in your house and drink poison or play with rattlesnakes. Okay? So you have those things, and the last thing is, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So those are commands to the believers. And John 10 says, go raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils, heal the blind. And he's doing it all. You're just allowing him to use you to do it. But those are operations of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and you have a prayer language, why would you not want to use it? And if you got baptized, if you say you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and you don't have one, have it, and I have it, why wouldn't you be like me setting up in that upper room with that woman? Why wouldn't that just kind of irritate you a little bit? Why can Rex have that, but I can't? That was my question to him. Why Mrs. Brown has it, but I don't? I mean, what's the deal here? But my heart wasn't right. It wasn't until I got over to the wall, the glass, and looked and really had him talk to me, and he squeezed my heart, and he manipulated, and he played with the clay, and he formed it the way he wanted it to form it, and it changed me. And I said, and Abba Father, praise God for Abba Father. Praise God for Abba, okay? I'd have been happy if I'd have got duh. I'm glad he didn't give duh to me, though, because it would have been really stupid walking around saying duh, 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 duh. Okay? So it was good, and it wasn't so much that I wanted what she had. I was just wondering why she could receive something that I can't. Do you understand? Why would he do that? Why would he let you have something he doesn't want me to have? If there's something wrong with me, let's fix it. That's my personality. If I got something wrong, fix it. Tell me what it is. Let me, let's change it. And that's what we have to do. If you don't want to, I don't know how to tell you. If you baptize in the Holy Ghost and you have a prayer language and you don't want to use it, you need to go in your prayer closet and find out why, okay, and let him talk to you about it. And I want to go back to Simon because I want you to understand that the gifts of the Holy Ghost and these things are not to be taken lightly. God paid a very high price for us to have them. I'm going back to Acts 8, verses 9 through 22. Now, there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be somebody great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." Equating God with this guy. He won't have it then, he won't have it now. And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip. So you need to understand, you can have these things operate in your life and still be unsanctified. Sanctification is a process. And even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And he observed signs and great miracles taking place, and he was constantly amazed. Now, this is before he even saw the Holy Ghost. These things were just happening because Philip went down there and preached the gospel to him. It says, now when the apostles, because remember, Philip was in the upper room. Okay? So now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for he had not yet fallen on any of them. Born again, baptized, seeing miracles, seeing the operations of the gifts. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the praying and laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Ghost." Peter said to him, see, this is why you don't want the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues. You want the Holy Ghost to change your life. Peter said to him, "You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." And Simon does. Simon says, "Okay, oh my, you know, help me, Lord. I repent." Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 11. Verses 17 to 22. "But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating, one takes his supper first, one is hungry, another is drunk. What? Do you not have a house to go do this in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? No, I won't." Now, what I'm fixing to say now is that Paul's fixing to set up order. He's fixing to set up order because they have the Holy Ghost and things are happening and things are moving and they're learning. And he's fixing to set up an order. Colossians 12. Make sure that's wrong. I don't think that scripture is right. No, it says 1 Corinthians 12. It's written wrong. "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues." Various kinds. Those are set up in the church. "All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a more excellent way." Now, here's what's happening. The church, the mostly of the church today, has taken that scripture and said, all don't speak in tongues. And therefore, they strapped it on us and said, there you have it. All don't speak in tongues, so not everybody's going to do it. But what they forget is, when he's talking about this, he's talking about gifts. He's not talking about the gift. He's talking about gifts of the Spirit. And it's obvious. Not everybody has speaking in tongues. The gift. That has to have interpretation. That's an operation as the Spirit wills. The other one is as you will. Paul says, I'll pray in my spirit and I'll pray in my understanding. Doesn't say the Holy Spirit's making him do that. It says that he's doing it. Two different operations. Two separate things. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9 and 11, it says, that is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power, signs, and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God sent them a deluding influence so that they would believe what is false. And that's what's happening, is that we are being taught things that are not true. And it's about this because the empowering of the Holy Ghost is we need Him. We need Him. Y'all need Him. I need Him. Everybody listening needs Him. He needs to be present and in our lives. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15. For if I pray in a tongue, you need to mark this down, and you need to mark the adjectives and the pronouns. For if I, Paul, pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. For if my spirit, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray in my spirit and I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit and I will sing with my mind also. Two functions. And he's not saying the Holy Ghost is doing it. He has the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's not talking about the operation of gifts. He's talking about the gift that came when he received the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 13:8-13. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I've also been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And what Paul is trying to teach is, he's trying to teach them that, yes, when the perfect comes and we are perfected and we're walking with Him, all of those things, we won't need prophecy. We'll be operating in prophecy. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we'll be operating like that. That hasn't happened yet. We're going there, but it hasn't happened today. We still need the operation of the gifts, wouldn't you say? We still need all nine of those gifts operating in our lives. We need them to operate. We need to have them moving and functioning and going within us. So what happens is that we can't be taught that, well, there it is, guys. Tongues are going to go away. Prophecy's going to go away and all that. Where Paul says, desire to prophesy, which we're fixing to see. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, one who speaks in a tongue, and you need to mark this down, edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies the church. I mean, is there anybody here or anybody listening that doesn't want to be edified? I mean, you don't want the Lord saying, you did a good job, you know. For one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies the church. And why would it be better, stands to reason, why would it be better to speak prophecy in church than give a message in tongues? Because it takes two, right? It takes tongues and interpretation. It either takes the guy praying in tongues, or the guy, or he interprets it, or another person interprets it. When we were praying earlier, and we were praying, and we heard prayer language praying, nobody got offended, nobody was, what's going on, and all that. So that is order. But if there was somebody that would be offended, then the Lord would know, and that wouldn't happen, or there would have been an interpreter. Okay? In Acts 10, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God, then Peter answered them. We went over that scripture. They were speaking in tongues, but nobody was interpreting. Nobody interpreted that. Just like what happened here. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as He did upon us at the beginning. For I heard them speaking in tongues. That's Peter. That's in Acts 11. In Mark 16, the Bible says, these signs will accompany those who believe. And I went over that scripture where we talked about those signs. Galatians 3:2. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you foolish having now begun in the Spirit? Or are you now being perfected by the flesh? Therefore I say to you, Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted. Matthew 7:7, ask and we talked about asking and receiving and believing you can receive. Luke 11:13, if we give good gifts to our children, how much more shall a Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? A lot of people just haven't ever asked Him because they've been taught they received Him already. Now, if you receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost and you just babble around, you walk, you know, you go downtown and you're talking to your boss or you're talking to your wife or something, all of a sudden you're just praying in tongues and you'd have no control. Just comes over you and takes your body over. That's not true. You have control. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:14 and 15, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind's unfruitful. The Bible says in 14:28, but if there's no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So obviously, Paul is saying that this is an occurrence that happens in church and is something that we definitely need. I believe that you take your prayer language, you take paper and pencil, and you pray, and you ask questions, and you pray, and you pray in your spirit, and He will give you answers. Just keep paper and pencil handy and keep it close to you. What happens in most cases, we have people that receive one way, and they won't let people receive any other way. I mean, this is the way I receive, so you have to receive that way. And we try to set up a formula, and we try to say, if this is the way it happens, and it happens this way every way, all the time, and it doesn't. There isn't a formula. And the book of Acts plainly shows people get filled with the Holy Ghost after they get baptized. They get filled with the Holy Ghost before they get baptized. They never get filled before they're saved. If there's a formula, that's the only formula. And it's the best formula for anybody to use because you want to get born again before you want anything else. You need to get born again. And 1 Corinthians 1:27-29 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And this is something that has happened because tongues has become a really confrontational within the church. It's caused, I think it's all even caused divisions and caused, and God never intended that. And that's a man thing. It's not a God thing. God, if God gives you a good gift, how can every good and perfect gift come down from the Father of lights and He give you something bad? That's in James. Nothing that the Father would give you would be bad, even if it's correction. Because we need correction in our life. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that He may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. There isn't any kind of formula. You can't go, I can't teach you a formula. There's no formula. I didn't have a formula. The people who went in that pool didn't have any formula. The 300 people I saw received the Holy Ghost at one shot with absolutely no teaching. Had nothing but, raise your hand if you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they raised their hand and they had it. They had him. We all heard him. I remember going to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listen to David Ingalls. And he had a tremendous music ministry, but he had a ministry administering, being used of God to administer the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And it stuck with me. And I asked the Lord after looking at him, I just said, it's one of those things that Norval Hayes that had planted in me was, ask him, make yourself available. Well, I watched David Ingalls. He asked after a concert, he asked, how many people want to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost? And, I don't know, about 50 or 60 people raised their hand, and they all got, and he said, come up here. Brought them all up on the stage, and he put them in a circle. And then he said, how many people here are baptized in the Holy Ghost already? And of course, there was a lot of people there. And he said, I want everyone, just one person, but I want everyone to pick somebody and go stand behind that person that wants to receive. And so, hey, I'm going to go do that. And so I went and stood behind someone and listening to him. And he said, now here's what's going to happen. Pray in your you people standing behind these people, put your hands on them, pray in your understanding. So we start, and you know what that means. He's meaning praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this person. Fill them with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Touch their lives. Change them. Do what you want with them, Lord. You know what they're up here for. You know their heart. You know what's going on. And he said, okay. And he started talking to people in the church and said, you heard that? And they all said, oh, yeah, we heard all that. And he said, okay, now, ladies and gentlemen that are in the back row that were behind him, he said, now pray in tongues. Pray in your spirit. Keep your hands on them. Pray in the spirit. And we prayed in the spirit. And everyone just boom. It's a ministry. Not just to do that, but it's a heart thing. To see people filled with the Holy Ghost, it's wonderful. And it changes their lives. It's a blessing to those of us that God uses like that. But man, it's wonderful for the people that receive. It's better for the receiver, you know. Because now you can pray to God. Not that you couldn't pray to Him directly, but you pray to Him and you don't use your mind. It's hard to explain. It passes your mind. I used to really see if that was true, and I used to pray in my spirit while driving my car and read license numbers in front of me. Just to see if it worked. You know? I'm stupid, I guess, you know. but God, or read a book. I can read a book and pray in tongues. And they don't commingle. I don't know how to explain that. Okay? I just know it's real. I know it's the truth. And so, pretty much to... there's a... fixing to do that right now. There's no formula. And for those of you that have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost or you've had error or whatever, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like for those of us that have, I'd like for us to agree. But if you haven't received and you want to, first you got to say, I want to. You know, none of this happens in a closet. None of this, you know, not that you have to do something in front of me, but I'm, you know, if you want to receive the Holy Ghost, you ought to boldly say, I want to receive the Holy Ghost, you know, raise your hand. And if there anybody here that would like to do that, we're going to pray. And those out there, if you want to receive, the first thing is the same thing that Peter said, repent. Now, he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and I understand that baptism is important, but we found in the book of Acts, you can receive the Holy Ghost before that happens. And I would think if everybody here has been baptized and those out there, but if you, first it's repent, and it's not just repent of your sins, it's repent of mindsets you have, because you can be blocked because you have a mindset because of what you've been taught. You know, well, I've been taught I received the Holy Ghost already. But I don't have all this stuff we just talked about. Well, you're supposed to. You're supposed to. So let's agree. You men will agree with me and will agree that, Father, you know the hearts here and you know the hearts that are out there, Father. You know them that are, that wish to receive, Lord, that wish to receive the Holy Ghost, Father. Father, we thank you. It's not tongues that they want, Father. It's the Holy Ghost. Father, I just thank you right now that by your presence and by your might and by your power, Father, that you are with us. And Father, you are definitely for us. So Father, I thank you as you search the hearts of each one here, Father, that you touch them. As they ask you to baptize them with the Holy Ghost, Father, we believe with them that they receive. We believe that they are receiving the anointing. We believe, Father, that God is who He says He is. And Father, I thank you for touching them. I thank you for baptizing them in the Holy Ghost, Father. I thank you for loosening them in Jesus' name. Kita labasote rabakita. Labaskande rebikita yanda. Dorodobosete lalamokunda hisitaya. Sabaskite lalamokur radanine mahosanda. Father, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your power, Father. We thank you for the things of Jesus, Father. I thank you for touching each one here that is seeking, Father. I thank you, Father, and I give you praise. I give you honor and I give you glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Remember, you don't seek tongues, you seek the Holy Ghost. And He will do, He will touch you, He will change you, He will touch your heart. And He will, if you hear a word, you need to say it. If you see a word, you need to say it. My wife had a dream and she backed up the dream. She has the ability to do that. I can't do that. She backed her dream up three or four times and then called me, before we were married, and called me on the phone. She said, I did this, and I said, well, say it to me. And she said it, and I said, that's tongues. That's tongues. Where'd you get that? And she said, well, I dreamed I was saying it. And so she said it. I've prayed with people that saw it in a book. It was written in a book. They opened a book, and there were some words. And you just say the words. There's no formula. You know, it happens different with everybody else. You either hear it, you can hear a word, and the devil will come and say, oh, don't say that, you know, you're just saying what he said, or you're saying what they said. That's not true. That's not of the Lord. I've had that happen more than once, where people said, you're saying, I'm just saying what you're saying. And I had that happen on the phone with one of the people I counsel with. And I said, no, say your word. And they would say it, and I'd say it back to them. I said, I don't have that word. I don't say that. You just have to be loose in Him and get rid of mindsets that are not written, and He will do the rest. He will do it. He wants to do it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for touching them, Father. Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost going out through the airwaves and going out through the radio, Father. Going out, Father. I ask you humbly, Father God, that the things that I said that were not of you, Father, that you straighten that out. And the things that are of you, Father, you multiply and amplify. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Doesn't really matter who I am or where I'll be. My point is to be used to make a difference. I don't need to make history. And all that I could be, I can only count it as loss. 'Cause it could never stand to what I should be. When I take up my cross, who I am. Doesn't really matter who I am, who I am.